As we come to the conclusion of our series on death, today and next week, we want to focus our attention to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ from the cross. In Luke 23:42-43, we read, "And he," that is the malefactor, "said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." There were, of course, 7 words our Lord spoke from the cross. You will find them in Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. Today we want to consider the second word that was spoken from the cross. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The first word which our compassionate Savior spoke was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The third word was the amazing word of filial love, "Woman, behold thy son," and then to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." The fourth was that piercing cry of hellish agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then he said, "I thirst," drinking the vinegar mingled with gall, something which at first he had refused to do. And then the burden he had come to bear being now over, he cried out with a loud shout, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And then the last word before he gave up his ghost, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Although we focus our attention on the second word from the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," just a few words about those 7 words in general. Our Lord, you will notice, began and ended his words on the cross with, "Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Notice too that there were 7 words, surely symbolic in Scripture of perfection. But also 3 out of the 7. While he himself was enduring such awful agony, enduring the curse of the cross on behalf of his people, his prayers, his cries from the cross were for others. Yes, for his sheep. "Father, forgive them. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son." What a way to prepare to die willingly, as we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself from the cross. Dark and perilous times have come upon us. Terrorism, abounding apostasy, increasing immorality. There are several ways men try to deal with that fear and agony and suspense that we experience in life more and more. Some like to take the happy-go-lucky approach, eat, drink, and be merry, ignore the assaults of the enemy, and just live. Others fall into the different extreme and cower in desperation and rot away in anxiety, watching news, asking what next. But you know there is a far better way, not only to overcome fear, but to deal with all the events of life with a biblical perspective. I say to you, it is the way of the cross. It is the way of contemplating what, after all, was the darkest hour of history. For when one knows what Calvary was really all about, then one can truly face life, and yes, death itself. This is the good news, my friend. Listen, the amazing wonder of the cross is that the Holy One of Israel fellowships with sinners, such as you are, such as I am. No doubt the fact of the 2 murderers, one on the left and the other on the right, emphasize this deep humiliation of Jesus Christ. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that the just may lay down his life for the unjust. And here we have it. At the 11th hour, so to speak, the miraculous conversion of the dying thief. This is the gospel regarding the death of the child of God. Paradise is promised to repentant sinners. The repentant sinner cries, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord's answer, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. With such a promise, one can surely be prepared to die willingly. We consider the promise of paradise. Notice with me the sinner's cry. By way of contrast, we hear, of course, the one who reviled the Son of God. The cry of bitter rebellion, of wicked rejection, of foolish unbelief, and wicked pride. Although the conversation is recorded, conversation between that thief and Jesus Christ in verses 42 and 43, the context, of course, begins in Luke 23 at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors, we read, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And we read, as the verses follow in this passage, the reviling of all those that surrounded the cross. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. They railed at him, mocked him, denied and rejected him as Messiah. Not surprising, of course, this was what the majority did. In fact, it was the united voice at Calvary. And this is what the criminals, these malefactors, did too. Fix in your mind the scene. One criminal on the left, another on the right. They had heard now the first word of Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They saw the inscription above his head, this is the King of the Jews. And they cry out, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. According to the Mark 15 passage in verse 32, we read that both of them that were crucified reviled the Christ. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. The parallel passage in Matthew 27:44 describes them as thieves. Luke describes them as malefactors or criminals. Surely sinners who had committed such crimes that were worthy of the awful death of the cross. What is amazing, however, is that now the other thief who at first had joined to revile the Son of God, now denies agreement with that thief and in fact rebukes him. Notice in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our sins. And further in verse 42, but this man have done nothing amiss. This man, Jesus, he have done no sin. He is holy. Somehow, the eyes of this thief were open to the knowledge of who he was, who was hanging there on his side, on the accursed tree of the cross. How did he know? And why now this change? What happened? I submit to you, he heard the word of the gospel in the prayer of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Moreover, he saw the little Bible and read, did he not? The words, this is the King of the Jews. Above all and without doubt, it is the Spirit of God that worked in the heart of his elect. For the other heard too, but hardened his heart. Whereas this thief heard, saw, understood, and acknowledged. After all, except for the Spirit of God, no man can acknowledge Jesus to be Lord. Not really, even though there be many who cry out, Lord, Lord, but who do not his will. Such who boast of him in word, but who deny him in deed, must only await the awful judgment of God. But those who do sincerely cry out, Lord, as this thief did, acknowledging Jesus as the only Savior, do so by God's grace and Holy Spirit. John 1:13, these are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God, clearly stated in Ephesians 2:8. And surely, this cry, "Lord, remember me," was not something that originated from the thief himself. Why, moments earlier he joined the crowd to revile the Son of God, and now he cries, "Lord." What happened is clear. The sinner's eyes were opened by the grace of the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. He now, in repentance, turns to the Lord. "Lord," he cries, "remember me." This surely represents the cry of all God's people throughout the ages. This dying thief looked at Christ on the cross, and he saw and he understood, and he said, "Jesus, Lord." This Jesus who had nails on his hands, crown was of thorns on his head, blood dripping by his side, facing the mockery of sinners. And very soon, and for the next 3 hours, darkness would descend upon the face of the earth. And out of that darkness, the Son of God would cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Hanging there on the accursed cross for malefactors, for sinners, can he be Lord? Could he be Lord? Yes, 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 absolutely and undeniably, yes, he is the anointed of Jehovah himself. Wonder of the gospel, he comes to save sinners, yes, murderers, adulterers, blasphemers. 1 Timothy 1:15, as Paul would later acknowledge, "Christ Jesus came into the world sinners to save, of whom I am chief." Remember this, you will never see nor acknowledge Jesus Christ until by grace you see yourself as that guilty sinner. "Lord, I do not deserve that you hear me, but I deserve this. But I ask you to pity me, to remember me in your mercy." This is the cry of the elect child of God who acknowledges that he is a sinner, that what befalls him he deserves, but that God is just and the justifier of all those who call upon him in truth. The thief cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." What kingdom? This Jesus is about to die on the cross. All his so-called promises were about to be lost, gone forever, vanquished in the way of death. But no, somehow in this way of the cross, the thief knew, and we must know, the Christ will be glorified. It is possible the thief might have thought of a future kingdom that Christ would usher in, but surely also this thief knew. He had to, that the kingdom that Jesus Christ would usher in would not be an earthly kingdom. He's about to die. Somehow, he understood that Christ would usher in a spiritual kingdom, a glorious kingdom. And in spite of all that was contrary to the naked eye, he had the eyes of faith and he embraced Christ, the Son of God, his Savior. "When thou comest into thy kingdom, Lord, remember me. When in the way of this cruel death you merit salvation for thy people and come in thy glory, think on me." And the Savior's promise, no, not only when I come in some distant future, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Earlier, remember, when he was being nailed to the cross, he had cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Enemies had hurled such injustice against the Son of God, but the meek one knew the purpose of the cross was to save his own, and so he prayed that prayer. No, it was definitely not the purpose of Christ to save all sinners on the cross. He laid down his life for his sheep, the sheep that the Father had given to him. Not one of them would go lost, for he had prayed for them, and he had laid down his life for them, and to them he would merit eternal life. And so he prays on the cross, "Father, forgive them." Think for a moment. If Christ had meant forgive them all, then why did not the Father forgive them all? Why then did the other thief continue in sin and unbelief and wicked rebellion to the end? Oh no. The Father heard the prayer of his Son, and amongst the wicked Christ saw his own. The centurion later would confess, the soldiers and the women would smite their breasts, and yes, without doubt, this thief, Christ saw. And how did this thief cry? The Savior's prayer was heard, and God worked by the Spirit in the heart of this thief, and the Father forgave him also. Filled with that amazing, enduring love for the murderer, Christ responded, "Truly, verily, I say unto you, I hear you, thief. No, I hear you, my dear child. I will not cast out any of the sheep given to me by my Father. You have the forgiveness of my Father. You have the favor and the honor that God gives to all His people in His kingdom. Others may not think this possible, but I, the Son of God, say unto you, truly, verily, amen, without shadow of a doubt, for the very purpose I have come into the world, and for that very purpose I am dying on the cross, for sinners like you. For those who by the grace and the Spirit of God know and acknowledge their misery, I have come. For those who in their misery know that their only deliverance is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I have come. For those who respond with humble gratitude, calling upon the Christ as their only Lord and Savior, I have come. Do you hear the Savior? Do you understand the words above the cross? Jesus is indeed the King of the Jews. But why had this to be written in Hebrew and Latin and Greek, the then known languages of the world? Because this gospel must be preached to all the world, also today to all nations. That is why the risen Lord commissioned the church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Do you say, if you are God, why do I suffer? Why is there death? Why war? Why sorrow? Why surgery? Why suffering? Why this pain? Do you say, if you are God, why not come down and save us? Prove thyself even from the cross. Oh, that was the cry of the multitude, the wicked rebellion that was heard there at Calvary. I beseech you today, you and I ought to say, all this we deserve, but He, the Son of God, is just. And we ought to cry out, Lord, remember us, pity us, forgive us, and save us from our sin and death and hell. The promise of Christ was to the thief and to us, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not only in the future when I finally return to establish my eternal kingdom, but today, with me in paradise. When I go to my Father, He said to the thief on the cross, you will be the first one. The privileged place will be for sinners saved by the amazing grace of God. Paradise today. That's the description, of course, of heaven in comparison to the original Garden of Eden, which now is lifted up, so that the glory of paradise is far greater, of course, than the original paradise of Eden, where there is no sin, there is no suffering, there is no death, there is no sorrow, there is no pain, where there can be no sin, no suffering, no death, no sorrow, no pain. That original Garden of Eden was only a picture, and only a picture for us, so that in the way of the fall and in the way of our redemption, we may realize that God has promised to us in Jesus Christ something far more glorious, even the new heavens and the new earth. There to be present with Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, today with me in paradise, there with Christ and through Christ to glorify God forever. Let us learn through the thief's cry and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. King Jesus has entered into His kingdom, and His kingdom is not of this earth. His kingdom is a heavenly, glorious, eternal kingdom. Soon He will cry, Tetelestai, it is finished. And then He Himself will die, saying, into Thy hands, Father, I commend my spirit. So also can the child of God die in that way. He can die with that triumphant knowledge of victory. He can die in the knowledge that immediately he goes to be with his heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ in paradise. That's the only way to die. Calling upon the name of the Lord. That's the only way to be prepared to die willingly. Never forget that there are only two ways to look at Jesus Christ. Often Christ is preached and received as if there are many ways to handle him. I respect the Christian faith, some say, but I personally do not believe. I'm not a Christian. Or I'm a Christian, I live nobly. See, I'm not a thief and an adulterer as the Pharisees would boast. Or preachers who themselves lie and who proclaim a message that God loves all men and then sinners imagine that they can continue in their sin or contribute to their own salvation. Those are lies. There are only two kinds and two ways to look at Jesus, the elect and the reprobate, the way of unbelief and the way of faith. The reprobate who hear the gospel harden their hearts and mock at the truth of God's word, but the elect who hear are humbled to the dust and they cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Which are you? Remember, the vilest sinner Christ can and does save. No, this last-minute conversion may not be used to continue in sin. Of course not. Today, the scriptures say, harden not your hearts, but repent. Turn to the Lord while he may yet be found and while you still breathe. But remember, God saves whom he wills and when he wills. His own will cry unto him, remember me. And in paradise they will be with all the saints who will join in glory to sing salvation to our God. By grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, through revelation alone, and then glory to God alone. This is the gospel of grace, knowing which you may live and die willingly and cheerfully. May God grant you and I to know the promise of paradise today. Amen. Grant us, Father, ears that hear and hearts that believe in the wonderful promise of the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. Amen.